Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome. I'm excited about a new series that I'm going to begin today, and that is a series on knowing the Holy Spirit. Knowing the Holy Spirit. Yeah, about eight of you. That is over the top. I am glad you're with me on this. Let's pray. Father, I thank you in the name of the Holy Child Jesus for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I pray that he not be quenched or grieved in our midst or in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I want to begin this series with what Jesus prayed in John chapter 17. And he talked about knowing God and what it meant to know God. Well, he had led up to that in John chapter 13. This is toward the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. And he has what we call Lord's Supper with the 12 disciples. He washes their feet. He tells them that a new commandment have I given you, that you love now one another as I have loved you. And then in chapter 14, he goes into a lot of teaching. Chapter 15, chapter 16. And now in chapter 17, he's coming to the end of his prayer before he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane and ultimately then to the cross. And he says something here that we need to understand as his people in regards to eternal life, and that is knowing God. Watch this. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you've given him." And this is life eternal, or eternal life. He's going to tell us what eternal life is all about, what it means, and things of that nature. "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So Jesus describes eternal life not in terms of quantity of years, but in a quality or kind of life. Eternal life and having eternal life doesn't mean you're going to live forever. Everybody's going to live forever. That's why we need to know what eternal life is. Eternal life, he says, is knowing God. It is a personal relationship with God. Not that you know about God and have come to conclusions, but you know him. This word "know" in scriptures is exclusively used for the husband and wife relationship, in the marriage relationship, in which they are no longer two, but now have become one flesh, and out of that relationship they bear children. What is Jesus saying? Eternal life is not knowing God over there or about God, but eternal life is no longer two, but your spirit is one spirit now with the Lord. And out of that new experience, that new birth, that becoming one spirit, we're going to bear much fruit in the earth. So there's a difference in knowing about God and knowing God. Years ago, I had heard for years about Andrew Womack, and I'd heard this about him and that about him, and I could have said I know about him, but I didn't know him. And then years later, I met him, and we became friends. And now I know him in a different way than I knew about him for years. We've taken vacations together, him and Jamie and Sue and I. I've played golf with him. I've ministered in his colleges throughout the country and even abroad. I've done conferences with him now. I'm overseas in a conference with him. So I know him now in a personal way that I didn't know when I just knew about him. Many people go to church their whole life and they know about God, but they don't know the true and the living God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. That's not the topic, but we all do need to know God. And in knowing God, there's something I've come to understand about God by the Spirit of God, is that we serve one God, but in three distinct manifestations: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And while most people are comfortable with knowing God as Father, and even descriptive terms of God as Father, many have come and and become comfortable knowing Jesus, the manifested second member of the Godhead, and I can talk about Jesus and everyone is comfortable, but when I say Holy Spirit, it's a whole different ball game at many different levels. And we need to deal with some of those things because the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead. And you need to, if you're going to know God, you need to know Him as Father. And you need to know the Son. And you need to know the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Knowing God, again, is eternal life. God is a person and our friend. I'm growing. I don't know about you, but I am growing in my knowing. Anyone here today that you can honestly say you're growing in your knowing, your relationship with God, in understanding Him? I've come to see God as my friend. I've come to see God as my helper, and many different things about God have become intimate knowledge. And I'm going to share with you how that it is the Holy Spirit and Him being our friend that's made that possible in my own life. Again, I talk about the Father in all these descriptive terms, and I don't feel any pushback. I don't feel any anxiety. How many of you know that He's Jehovah God? And in all those titles of Him, we come to know Him as a person. He's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord that meets all of our needs. He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals us. And see, no one's uncomfortable with that. He's El Shaddai, not El Cheapo. We all know Him as El Shaddai, the one that's more than enough. He's Yahweh. There's your way, my way, and Yahweh. Hallelujah. And we all feel good about that. When I start talking about Jesus, I don't feel any nervousness. I don't feel anyone uncomfortable as Emmanuel. When I say Emmanuel, we know God is with us. When I say Savior, Messiah, there's no pushback. There's no cringe factor. When I say Prince of Peace, when I say Son of Man, we all get excited about that because that title tells us something about His personhood. That as the second member of the Godhead, He became one of us. He became a son of man, so we through faith in Him can become the sons and daughters of God. And so everybody's cool. Then all of a sudden I say, Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of blank looks. And we're not even familiar with the titles that define Him and describe Him and communicate to us the personhood of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be looking at some of those things. Right here's where I want to be in being filled with the Holy Spirit, in relationship with the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit. I want to be right here because I have found that there are groups that lean this way and tend to want to ignore the Holy Spirit. Again, you can talk about the Father, they're okay. You can talk about the Son, they're okay. But even when it's Holy Spirit, we move right along as fast as we can. And we need to be careful here. And we don't want to be in that kind of a camp. On the other hand, we don't want to be in this camp that's way over here that doesn't ignore the Holy Spirit. But there's a lot of ignorance over here. And this offends people. And a lot of people who claim to be Spirit-filled operate in a lot of immaturity and a lot of confusion and what the Bible calls ignorance. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said to a Spirit-filled church, to a church that came behind in no gift, he said, "Brethren, I would not have you ignorant concerning spiritual gifts." He didn't talk to people that were ignoring the Holy Spirit and say they were ignorant. He said, those of you that are filled with the Holy Spirit and operating in all the gifts, I would have you not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. We need the wisdom of God on this side of this circle, and we need to know, what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to yield to the Holy Spirit? What does it look like to live a Spirit-filled life? What does a Spirit-filled church look like? Because there's a lot of things going on over here that a lot of people don't want to deal with. Over here, you say Holy Spirit and you hear holy what? Or you hear, I'm afraid of ghosts. If you say Holy Ghost, King James language, people say, well, I'm afraid of ghosts. Over here, there's confusion at large. And many are unwilling to bring order and sanity to spirit-filled life. There's a lot of immaturity. A lot of people get so-called filled with the Holy Spirit on this side of the circle, and they think they've arrived. They think because they operate in a spiritual gift, they're mature now. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that came after 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and in chapter 1, Paul said, you people are operating in all nine of the gifts. But in chapter 3, he says, you are carnal, you're immature, you walk just like mere men, and there's strife among you, division among you, fighting among you, arguing among you. That's not spirit-filled life, amen? We need to be mature in the things of God and be willing to face any immaturity or misunderstanding on this side. Years ago, I began in ministry pastoring, and my first church was Pittsburgh Methodist Church. And I started pastoring there, and my first service, there were three gorgeous, beautiful elderly women on the front row. Those of you who know my story know I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit right now. And these lovely women, beautiful women, were responding to the Word of God, and I was ministering to them. And revival broke out, and we built a mega church of 40 people in Pittsburgh, Oklahoma. And how many of you know when you're running 40 people, you don't have a lot of help? So soon I was still doing everything. And one Sunday morning, I was receiving the offering, and there were two little boys there, about 10 to 12 years old. And so I asked them to help me receive the offering. So they came down, they stood in front. And in the Methodist church, when you receive the offering, you sang the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. I know I'm going to keep my daytime job. All right. I get it. Aren't you glad we have team ministry here now? Hallelujah. But point being, I said, amen. I opened my eyes, and those two little boys' eyeballs were as big as silver dollars. And the little boy on the right said, I'm afraid of ghosts. Needless to say, we didn't receive a very good offering that day. I'm here to tell you that entire groups are afraid of ghosts. And they think that it is the Holy Ghost in the sense of something to be afraid of or uncomfortable with. And I'm here to tell you that the Holy Spirit is our friend. The Holy Spirit is our helper. The Holy Spirit, no, don't do that. I'll get excited. The Holy Spirit is our friend that is here to help us, to aid us, to comfort, to console us, to lead and guide us, to communicate the things of Jesus to us. And those are some of the things I want to talk about in this series in regards to the Holy Spirit. First thing we need to look at is the principle of Godhead in the Bible. The word Trinity is not in the Bible, and most Christian circles use the word Trinity, but the word Godhead is in the Bible, and it first shows up in the New Testament in Acts 17:29, and there's a reference to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in regards to the Godhead. One of the things that's helped me on how that they are one, but three distinct separate persons, is that the Heavenly Father conceives the plan for man. The Heavenly Father has conceived the purpose of all of creation, and specifically God's plan for man. It's conceived in the heart of the Father. The Son executes the plan of the Father, and the Holy Spirit unveils the plan of the Father. So you got the Father that conceives the plan, the Son that executes the plan of salvation, and the Holy Spirit that unveils or reveals the plan of salvation. That's how they work together as one. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person, not an it. He's not some force of good in the universe, Ekron, that fills the cosmos. No, He is the third member of the Godhead, and He is a person, not an it. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, talking about God, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The Bible says God has revealed his power in creation, and he has revealed even his Godhead in creation. Colossians 2:9, we're familiar with this, that in him, that's talking about Jesus, dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the next verse says, you and I are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. So Jesus was the visible manifestation of an invisible God. Jesus made visible the attributes of an invisible God. If you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. If you've known Jesus, you've known the Father, because he was filled with the fullness of the Godhead. He didn't show us a third of God, a part of God. He showed us all of God. Amen? He is the second member of the Godhead, the visible manifestation of an invisible God. Now, this is a blessing we speak over you many times, and within one verse we see the Godhead in 2 Corinthians 13:14. And I'm going to look at some different translations quickly here. Follow this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So you have all three members of the Godhead in one passage there. We understand that grace came by Jesus. We understand the love of the Father. And we should understand now the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The New Living Translation says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. See, it's the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent that's with us and in us that fellowships with us. He's the one communicating the will of God to you. He is the one that's guiding you in the purposes of God. My favorite translation is the Message Bible. The amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ. How many of you know his grace is amazing? The extravagant love of God. God doesn't just love you with a plain love. It's an extravagant love. And look at this. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, or all of you. We've got the amazing grace of God in Jesus. We've got the extravagant love of God and the Father, and we've got the friendship of God and the Holy Spirit. What I want to communicate to you, dear ones, and to all of those that are a part of our different locations, is that the Holy Spirit is your best friend, and he's the best friend ever, ever. You'll never have a friend like the Holy Spirit. You'll never have anyone that'll be as close to you and united to you and never leave or forsake you. And he's your best friend because he won't lead you into darkness. Some of you got some friends. Yeah, I know your friends. And your friends are going to lead you into lies and lead you into darkness. The Holy Spirit is the best friend you'll ever have. He'll only lead you into the light. He'll lead you into the truth. He'll lead you into the peace of God. He'll lead you into things that bring joy unspeakable and full of glory into your heart and into your life. And so we have to know him. What is eternal life? Knowing God. So a part of our eternal life is knowing the Holy Spirit and the friendship of the Holy Spirit. Now this is the story of Ananias and Sapphira. It's in Acts chapter 5. And in Acts chapter 4, a man has sold some land. And he takes all of the money in the selling of the land and gives it to a revival. He gives it to a move of God, the work of God. And I mean, it was public giving, and this man got honored. This man was honored and acknowledged for his giving and how that he sold his land and gave everything to God. And Ananias, listen, wanted that favor but didn't want to make the sacrifice that the man made. Ananias wanted that favor of God and people, but he was a hypocrite in nature and demonstration in what he did. And it didn't work out real well for him. In Acts 5, verse 3, Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? To the who? The Holy Spirit. and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. And this is so important. While it remained, was it not your own? In other words, when you owned the land, God wasn't condemning you or pressuring you to do anything with that land. You could have done anything with that land you wanted to. You could sell it. You could give it to a widow. You could do anything you wanted with that land. And then he says, and after it was sold, was it not in your own control? In other words, God didn't demand he give any of it or all of it. God didn't have anything to do with this. He could have done anything with that money that he wanted to and been fine with God. Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to who? This scripture makes it clear that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is God. And you and I have to come to know the Holy Spirit and be comfortable with the Holy Spirit and learn to yield with the Holy Spirit, even as we've been and become comfortable with the Father and we're comfortable with the Son. We need to be at rest and peace and comfortable with the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit and the friendship now of the Holy Spirit. Why? The Holy Spirit is God. Again, he didn't lie to man. He lied to God and not man. The Holy Spirit is God. All right, let's look at John 14, 15, and 16. And as we go through these passages together, I want you to look for the Godhead. I want you to look how the Godhead is on every page nearly and every scripture that we're going to look at. And then secondly, look for the Holy Spirit and let's see if the Holy Spirit is an it or if the Holy Spirit again is a person. John 14, 15, I love this. If you love me, obey my commandments. That is huge in my personal life. That's had an impact on me. In other words, Jesus is saying that all of my faith obedience, all of my obeying God's commandments comes out of my love for God. In other words, if you love me, and we do, then obey my commandments. Or in other words, don't obey me out of guilt, condemnation, demonic fear, legalism. Obey me out of a heart of love. And if you have a heart of love for Jesus, then you want to obey him. And that's what he's saying. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father. I, that's Jesus, will ask the Father, Father God. And he, Father's a he, will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He, not it, is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world can't receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. Amen. The world isn't looking for the Holy Spirit. And if he showed up in a tuxedo, they wouldn't recognize him. The problem's not the world not looking for him or recognizing him. The problem is many of God's people aren't looking for him or recognizing him and his attributes and his manifestations. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Verse 16 again, Jesus said, I will pray. There's the second member of the Godhead. Who's he going to pray to? The Father. That's the first member of the Godhead, Father God. And he'll give us another helper, an advocate. That's the Holy Spirit. Third member of the Godhead. Verse 17 says, you know him. He's a person, not an it. Verses 15 through 17 in the message translation. If you love me, show it by doing what I've told you. I will talk to the Father, and he'll provide you another friend so that you will always have someone with you. This friend is the Spirit of truth. The godless world can't take him in because it doesn't have eyes to see him, doesn't know what to look for. But you know him already because he has been staying with you and will even be in you. So there's a dimension and a work of the Holy Spirit we're going to talk about later about being in us, and a dimension and a work of the Holy Spirit being with us and upon us. And that involves the power of God in our lives. You know, when it comes to God's power, I wish I had time to minister in detail, because I was confused early in my Christian life concerning the power of God. Jesus said to his disciples, go to Jerusalem and tarry and wait for the promise of the Father. And then he says, but you shall receive power after that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me. So the infilling and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to now help me be a witness. And there's a power that comes, and because that word in the Greek, I guess, is dunamis, and been taught explosive dynamic power, a lot of people have this concept of the Holy Spirit, and if we don't have explosions going off, and I mean just absolutely spectacular stuff all around us, the Holy Spirit's not working. The Holy Spirit's not moving. That's from a misconstrued idea about God's kind of power. The power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you what the most powerful thing on the planet that only the Holy Spirit can do, and that is to change the hard heart of man, to create a soft heart, a new heart, and put a brand new heart on the inside of somebody. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, and that's the power of God to change man's heart. That's explosive, dynamic power. Let me tell you what one of the greatest acts of power in the Holy Spirit is. Forgiving the unforgivable. That takes the power of God. You can't in your own strength and might forgive what people have done to you, but by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, by being baptized, saturated in, immersed in the Holy Spirit, He can give you the power to forgive the unforgivable. He can give you the power to love the unlovely. He can give you the power to go the extra mile when something is dumped on you. He can give you the power to change and to fulfill the purposes of God in your life. And on I can go with this supernatural power that comes with the Holy Spirit and understanding Him as your friend now and learning to commune with Him and learning to fellowship with Him. Now let's go to John 15, verse 26. This one's good and short but powerful. But when the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit is your helper. That's why you don't need to be uncomfortable around Him. You don't need to have any cringe factors when it comes to the Holy Spirit. Am I the only one that gets up every day and I need some help? Anybody need some help? I mean, those of you that didn't raise your hand, you're why I need help. We all need help. I need a helper. And I'm telling you, this is a friend that'll never leave or forsake me. This is a friend that won't impute my faults to me. This is a friend that will help me get it right when I get it wrong. Why would we be afraid of Him? Why would we be uncomfortable with the presence of the Holy Spirit? Again, in that chart I drew of the Holy Spirit circle, you got this extreme over here. And listen, I'm saying this in love. I'm not being critical, but many of these people are stubborn. They're just stubborn in regards to the Holy Spirit. And there's something worse than that. It's this side of that thing. And over here, you got a lot of arrogance. You got a lot of arrogance. People talking like they've got something other people do not have. And they're spiritual now just because they are so-called filled with the Holy Spirit. When they're carnal as the day is long. Everybody say, I love. That ain't good enough. If they don't get it right soon, I'm coming to your location. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to get a hold of this kind of stuff, and we need to be willing to deal with things that are creating confusion and just be honest about it and just say, okay, I don't understand that. I'm immature in that. On this side of that chart I grew, you got people that are running from the Holy Ghost like a scalded dog with hot water poured on it. On this side of that chart, you got people barking like dogs. How many of you know I want to be in the middle of the circle? I don't want to be running like a scalded dog, and I don't want to be barking like a dog saying that's the Holy Ghost. Well, you're getting better. Maybe I won't make it to your location soon. But I appreciate the help on that. He's the helper. When the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father. All three right there. Helper, Holy Spirit, comes whom I will send to you, that's Jesus, from the Father, that's the Heavenly Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. Why would we be afraid of the Holy Spirit when you know what the Holy Spirit's sole job is? Testify of Jesus. Testify of Jesus. He's to show you Jesus. He's to take of the things of Jesus and transmit them to you and me. Man, I need the Holy Spirit. I need to yield to the Holy Spirit. I need to understand again the Holy Spirit that is my friend and now my helper. Message Bible says, when the friend I plan to send you from the Father comes, the Spirit of truth issuing from the Father. See, the Father is Spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and truth. The Father fills the cosmos. He fills the whole universe. He fills all of creation, and the Son, the second member, makes visible that invisible God. And listen, the Holy Spirit is the breath of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the waters of eternal life that are flowing out of the heart of the Father. Jesus said it like this. I don't know if we'll get to this later, but let me just say it right now. I feel it. And that is, He said in John chapter 3, He says, the Holy Spirit's like the wind. It's breath, and it has an effect on things. You're not sure where it came from, and you're not even sure where it went. But how many of you know when a hurricane or a tornado comes through, high damaging winds, you know it's been there. There's manifestations. We need a holy hurricane to hit our churches. We need a holy tornado to blow through all of our churches in this country. And everybody go, something's happened. I don't know where that came from or where it went, but look at this. People are friendly. People are loving. They're hospitable. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Is what's happening to their lives. I'm sorry I got excited, but when the friend, I love it, my friend, my best friend, I plan to send you from the Father comes, the Spirit of truth issuing from the Father, He will confirm everything about me. See, it's the Holy Spirit that shows you Jesus and all the things Jesus did for you. It's the Holy Spirit that transmits it to you. You too, from your side, must give your confirming evidence, since you are in this with me from the start. All right, John 16, 4 through 7. But these things have I told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go away to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow fills your heart. In other words, Jesus is saying to them, you're not listening to me. You're not getting it. Pay attention. Yes, I'm leaving, but it's not a bad thing. Why are you down in the mouth? Don't you understand the plan of the Father and that I as the Son have come to execute it? Now we got to get the Holy Spirit involved in God's plan of salvation for man. And for that to happen, I have to leave. Now, I'm not being hard on them, because I've struggled with this in my own personal life and thoughts. And I guarantee you, if you'd have been walking with Jesus for three and a half years, you wouldn't want Him to go either. How many of you know it would be hard to understand this statement right here? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It's for your benefit. It's expedient for you. It's good for you, for me to leave. Now, I'd have struggled with that. Because, I mean, I'd have had me a time for 3 years with this guy. I mean, we got a guy here that can take a little boy's lunch and feed thousands of people with it. I'm taking him home with me. Sue's not with me this week, and I guarantee you I could use a guy like that at the house. Amen. Now, don't misunderstand me. Everything's cool with Sue and I. I know some of you. And so I'm going to clarify this. Sue hadn't left me. She just went with the grandkids to Colorado with Jacob and Hannah to help take care of the grandkids. And so all is good between Sue and I, but she did leave me. And I'm hungry. And there are a lot of strange things happening in my home that just blow my mind. I wash all the dishes, for instance, and clean them, and then I put them in the sink. A half hour later, I show up, and they're gone. I've cleaned them this week, and they're stacked up all the way to the ceiling. So anyway, it's just one of the mysteries that are happening at my home. He said, man, it's better for you that I go away. Why? How? For if I go not away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Jesus said what we have in the Holy Spirit right now, right here, and we're experiencing in the friendship of the Holy Spirit is better than if he was here in the flesh. God, the Father, is spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and truth. God the Father is not restricted by time, space, matter. God the Father was at the beginning before the beginning, and God the Father is already at the end of all things in his plan for salvation. But see, God the Son made a choice to enter into time, space, and matter. And if Jesus hadn't have went to the cross and bore your sins and my sins, listen to me carefully, he would have never died physically, and he would still be walking on this planet right now, because it's sin that brings death, and Jesus had no sin of his own, so he would have never died. But if Jesus was on the planet in the body that Mary provided for him, how many of you know, because of time, space, and matter, he could only be at one place at one time in the whole world. And what are the odds that he would be with us? What are the odds he would be with one of your locations? Because I guarantee you, he'd be here with me if he was here in the flesh. Because I got to get somebody home to help me through this crisis. Are you with me? It was better that he went away. But listen, he went away and the Father sent the Holy Spirit. And I want you to listen to me carefully. I got to be clear here. The Holy Spirit with us is like Jesus without a body, restricted to time, space, and matter. I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit is the ghost of Jesus, but I'm saying the Holy Spirit is just Jesus without a body, and he's my best friend, and he doesn't say anything Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't act any different than Jesus would act, and I can be comfortable with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Man, that's good preaching. I'm sorry, I got excited. I forgot I'm the one preaching. But it was good preaching. We need to understand this instead of these cringe factors. When we say Holy Spirit, we should say, thank God, the Father, and what the Son did, sending the mighty Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. All right, John 16, 8 through 11 now. And when he, not an it, has come, he will convict the world of three things: sin, righteousness, and of judgment. It is so sad how this has gotten turned upside down. The Holy Spirit is not convicting a sinner or a man in Adam of all of his sins. He's not condemning him for smoking or dipping or chewing or going with those that do. He's not hammering them for this sin and that sin and this sin, and you better quit and you better not do that. They're in Adam. You and I once were in Adam, and that was a bad root that created all our bad fruit. God took us out of Adam, gave us a new root, the root of Jesse, Jesus himself, and now in Christ we're bearing now much fruit, literally the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is not convicting them of sins, but of sin. He's not telling them, now you're doing all this wrong and you better start doing this, because this is right and this is right and this is right, righteousness. And if you don't, God's going to get you. Judgment. That is sad. Jesus spelled it out what he meant by sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. The Holy Spirit is speaking to a lost man in Adam one thing: Jesus is Lord. Will you accept him as Lord? He's convicting, convincing, and the one that converts them from being in Adam to now in Christ, born again, a new creation. Of sin, because you believe not on Jesus. Listen, dear ones, all of our sins, ours and the world's, was born by Jesus on the cross, and he bore the curse for all of those sins. The only sin that wasn't covered on the cross is the rejection of the cross. It's unbelief that is the sin you and I had to repent of in order to be saved. And then he says righteousness. Righteousness doesn't have anything to do with your holiness or what you can or can't do. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Righteousness has everything to do with the resurrection. And if it was my sins that he bore on the cross, and my death he embraced, and my grave he entered. If the man is alive, and he is, I've been made righteous in the eyes of God. If my sins killed him, the Holy Ghost raising him from the dead is my justification. Righteousness has to do with the resurrection and who Jesus is, not what you can do or haven't done. And then I love judgment of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Judgment is the devil has met his Waterloo in Jesus, and Jesus said, I saw him fall like lightning, and I am he, says Jesus, that was alive. I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I got the keys of hell, death, and the grave. The devil has no more power over you, no more authority. He's been stripped of all his authority and power. He's been put under your feet. Now get filled with the Holy Spirit and keep him under your feet. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Sin is unbelief. Righteousness has to do with the resurrection. And judgment is Satan has no more authority. Verse 12 through 15 of that same chapter, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. I've been there. However, when he, not it, the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into how much truth? All truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. The things to come here are the new creation things that he's still revealing to us. They weren't born again yet. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet. They hadn't become new creations. The Holy Spirit is revealing all that to us even to this day. He will glorify me. Why would you be nervous about the Holy Spirit? Why would you be uncomfortable with the Holy Spirit? All he does is glorify Jesus. Every time you've seen Jesus, that was the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Every time you've had your ears open to hear Jesus, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you and opening up your ears and your eyes. For he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. I want everything Jesus has for me. And so my friend, the Holy Spirit's on assignment to declare every bit of it to me. And I need to listen. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit's a person. He guides us into all truth. That's our friend. And the Holy Spirit unveils mysteries, not creates them. Y'all are about tied with one other service. I'm probably going to spend time on this. I discovered it's the Holy Spirit that's opening the eyes of my understanding, unveiling the mysteries of the kingdom, not creating a bunch of mysteries in our immaturity. I hear a lot of mysteries about the Holy Spirit instead of people listening to the Holy Spirit and having unveiled the mysteries of the kingdom of God. All right, let's look at a couple of scriptures quickly in closing. Luke 3:22. I love this one passage, and we see the Godhead in this one passage. And the Holy Spirit, this is at Jesus' baptism, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, you are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. So you've got Jesus, the second member of the Godhead, being water baptized. You've got the third member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, descending upon him in bodily form like as a dove. And then you have the first member of the Godhead, the Father, from heaven. And everybody heard it at that baptismal, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and all are God. Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Amen. All right, four takeaways. For all of our life groups and home churches, and many of you that do the Bible studies, here's our four takeaways, and we're going to spring from here now into this series. Number one, in simplicity, the Holy Spirit is God. Number two, the Holy Spirit is the third member of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Number three, the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person, and eternal life is knowing God. If we're going to know God and we're going to know Him personally, we have to know Him as Father, and that's a revelation. Know Him as the Son, that's a revelation. And know Him as Holy Spirit. And then number four, the Holy Spirit is a friend. Amen? Did anybody get blessed today? Hallelujah. Wow. In one way, that is so simple, but yet profound in many ways. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would open the eyes of your understanding, the ears of your hearing, and that He would enlarge your heart to be not only comfortable with Him, but truly make Him your best friend. Father, I thank You for being my friend.
For additional free CDs or a catalog of all our teaching messages, please contact Dwayne Sheriff Ministries, Post Office Box 427, Durant, Oklahoma, 74701, or call us at 580-920-1791. May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.